Welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Nick Hilton, and I'm joined now by James Forsyth and Katie Balls. So Theresa May is still in China, but even from that continent, she's issuing a challenge to the EU's opinions on residency status. What's happening, James?
Yeah, the EU's guidelines for the transition suggest that the people who arrive from the EU in the UK during this transitional period should, like those EU citizens who are here before March 2019, qualify for this residency rights automatically in future. Theresa May is saying, oh, I want to challenge that. I mean, if you read very carefully what she is saying and what David Davis said at Brexit questions in the Commons today, what they're really trying to challenge is the automaticity. They don't want the idea that they would have to automatically give these people these rights. Now, personally, I mean, this is a pretty pointless fight for the government to pick because the crucial thing about this transitional period is to get it agreed as soon as possible. And given all the other things that the UK is accepting during this period, you know, like accepting all the single market rules, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you might as well just accept this, to my mind.
Katie, is she playing to a particular part of her party or is this just more duffing along here?
Well, I think she's trying to prove, you know, that she's still a tough woman to some extent and also that, you know, she is looking out for Britain's best interests. But I think this transition period, one of the problems is it's called a transition period. It doesn't look that much different to what we're currently in. And if anything, it looks slightly worse because we're basically having exactly what we have now, but you have no say over what really happens. And I think there might be a few minor exceptions where Britain could still have a say, but I think what she's trying to do is make the transition period seem more like a change because there's a lot of frustration with the way that it's going.
So James, Lead or Go was the magazine cover this week. Is this a sign of leadership or is this just more of the same?
I don't think this is the kind of leadership she should be providing because this is picking a fight with the EU on the details of the transition period when actually what we need is leadership on the whole question of what we want our whole future relationship with Europe to be, the EU to be. Now, I'm told that there'll be meetings on Wednesday and Thursday next week of the Brexit inner cabinet designed to kind of make some progress on the outstanding seven questions surrounding the UK's negotiating position. But she really needs to lead on this. She needs to be able to give a speech setting out what the UK wants, how it thinks financial services can be included in the deal very soon.
Has your rather striking cover turned up the pressure on her at all?
James bashful to say this, but I would say yes.
I think Mawson Morland's cover illustration perfectly kind of captured the kind of dilemma she faces right now. And I think that the thing that she needs to show is that she can lead on Brexit, on this end state question, and that they have a domestic agenda. That I think, is what will quieten down the rumblings that are... I don't know what Katie thinks on this, but I mean, the rumblings that I think seem to be getting kind of louder every day in Westminster. It's hard to walk around the Palace of Westminster now without bumping into a Tory MP who wants to pull you aside for a moan.
Yeah, I think the problem is the alternative doesn't look great, but it's just every day MPs are starting to wonder if the alternative is just worth a go. And you have a report today in The Sun basically saying that there is a government minister who is considering basically quitting so they can make their case from the backbenchers. And I think that comes of a Spectator colleague who wrote in The Times, Matthew Paris, who basically has written to say that could be the most, if you do want to get rid of Theresa May, the best way could be one of these, you know, resignations. So I think a lot of it hangs in the balance right now, and it is very hard to predict whether this is just going to die down or if by Sunday this is going to be a kind of a bigger crisis.
So away from the crumbling government for a second and to our crumbling parliament, you guys have received some pretty unwelcome news as people who work in the palaces of Westminster.
I don't think it will be about 10 years before it happens, but they're going to move out of parliament lock, stock and barrel. Which I think is a pity in a way, because the chamber has a kind of important historical purpose, and even though you need to kind of do building works to make the place safe, I think moving out is foolish. I also think there's a kind of slight flaw in the work in the report on which this is based, which is there's no discount rate. So it assumes that a pound spent in 40 years' time is as valuable as a pound spent now, which obviously isn't the case. I think it'd be much better if they kind of basically worked around the MPs and kept them in the chamber, which is, you know, the cockpit of a nation.
Katie, where are they thinking of moving you to? I hear Battersea's quite hot right now.
Yeah, well, after the success of the US Embassy in Vauxhall. No, there's talk basically of the Department of Health building as one of the places you might move to. There's also a picture going around of her kind of a floating parliament on the Thames. I think that's less likely. But there's obviously big security concerns with any move. And we're already hearing that certain shops are going to lose their leases.
Boots be going.
Yeah, and of particular concern is what's going to happen to several pubs, such as the Red Lion. We're not really sure. That might have to be encased, I believe, into Parliament, which might mean either that it closes or it just becomes a Parliament bar. I'm all up for another Parliament bar, but these are some big questions that we need answered.
And James, yesterday we saw in the House of Lords one of my favourite resignations of all time, Lord Bates stepping down at the dispatch box. What exactly happened?
So he basically turned up late because he hadn't realised that the House of Lords had said prayers in the morning. It normally says prayers in the afternoon. So he was late to answer questions about his ministerial responsibilities. So he stood up and said, "I'm terribly sorry I was late, I resign," and walked off the front bench to the kind of total shock and surprise of both sides of a house. There then followed a rather amusing period of time where he was basically closeted with the chief whip, who was desperately trying, in the Lords, who was trying to talk him out of resigning. And we had this, what I think must be the first in British history, which is the Archbishop of Canterbury publicly calling on a minister to reconsider their resignation. And at the end of it, his resignation was not accepted, and he's carrying on, but he's obviously slightly had enough because he's having a few days off before returning to work.
Yeah, I think it's a very clever tactic. I think I might use it next time I'm late for work.
You're planning to resign next time you're late for work.
See what happens.
Thank you, James, and thank you, Katie. And you can subscribe to this podcast on the iTunes store. It's called Coffee House Shots, and to the magazine itself from just £1 a week at spectator.co.uk/podoffer. And you'll even get one of the remaining Moleskine notebooks.
I'm thoroughly ashamed at not being in my place, and therefore I shall be offering my resignation to the Prime Minister with immediate effect. I do apologize.